Full Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. Yeah! Yeah!
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley. With me, as always, Rabbit and Bagman. How's it going, fellas?
Yeah.
I'm erect.
Yep. We're about a week away, right?
Oh, it's so good.
Less than a week.
Yeah. We can't wait. But there has been some endless heavy news of late. Lamar Odom was taking boner pills and crack cocaine in a Nevada sex drug legal brothel, and his heart almost exploded, and it got
pretty
heavy.
Yeah, I don't know if it was too soon to talk about it or make jokes about it. It's never too soon, is it?
I think because he's getting better now, it's plenty fine to talk about it.
Well, I just read that they Chloe's not fucking getting a divorce now. So if you're that bummed, you just go on a mad binge, end up in a brothel, and you get your woman back. I mean, fuck, sounds a treat if you ask me.
It did get pretty intense. And it was kind of sad.
Heavy.
Mostly
totally
because
heavy.
Of deaths in the family, child, and best friends, and just seeing him suck in the Clippers and then falling apart.
In Dallas.
Yeah. It's just been a weird feeling. But Kobe went and visited him. He left the Utah game, even though he got injured. I don't even know why he's playing preseason. And went and visited him, and he didn't leave his side. And then some trolls gave him shit about it.
Twitter's a fucking nasty beast sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just all fucking...
Well, he had something to say back to that. He said, when we feel the need to question the support of others in moments of critical... or moments as critical as life hanging in the balance, then we must question the kind of culture we have created that has led us to such insensitive suspicion.
Yeah, that's well said.
Yeah.
Nice, baby. Yep.
Yeah. It's good when you take your moral cues from a rapist. That's just wonderful.
Zing. Fucking zing.
But I thought we'd focus on a couple positive things, you know, because that's negative, but it's all getting better. But at the end of the day, it's a millionaire overdosing on drugs, so it's really not that big. So I just wanted to highlight Yao Ming.
Yeah, good call.
He's achieving goals that Jackie Chan could never have done. Yeah,
he's great.
And another positive, speaking of Craig Seager from, you know, the announcer who got very ill from cancer, he's supposed to be back for the first game.
Yeah, it's all very day by day, though, isn't it?
It is.
Can't wait to see him back.
So it's been lots of kind of side business. And then also, we probably should talk about the Triangle Punch-Up in New York. We didn't really have a chance to talk about it. It kind of happened after we finished that third podcast. Rabbit, you want to just break down on a lighter note what happened over in New York?
Well, anyone who wants to knock out Derek Fisher is okay in my book. That's even if it's Matt Barnes, it's totally cool. And even if he had like zero right to do it, it's totally cool because everyone's got a right to do it, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's like the Ben Lee rule. He just fully enforced it. Like, you should drive across town to beat the shit out of Derek Fisher. It's lovely.
It's great.
It's made everybody happy.
Yeah,
except for Derek Fisher.
He was what's his like lame excuse? He was going to visit his kids. He was concerned that they were up past 10 o'clock and there was a barbecue going on. So he
beat the shit out of it.
Wouldn't you be concerned if one of your kids rang up and said, Uncle Derek's at my house? You'd just be like, right, that's all I need. That's the only inspiration I need to go and beat the shit out of him. Instead of coming. I'd be scared shitless. No fucking way would I let Derek Vision in my kids.
They're both punching, but like, you go from Matt Barnes, who's a little ghetto and tatted up and, you know, a bit of a bad boy, to Derek Fisher? Mm. What the fuck? What's wrong with this chick? Anyway.
She's got mad side boob.
Yeah.
You should Google Gloria Govan's side boob if you care. It's pretty epic.
All right, so we are – this is part one of a three-part Western Conference breakdown. We got through the East, thank God. And I'm sure everyone's been waiting to focus on the West. So we're going to start with the 15th team last year, and we're going to work our way all the way to number one, which is the Golden State Warriors.
Boom.
Every team, we're going to break it down. We're going to tell you who's been added. We're going to tell you who's subtracted. We're going to tell you the ESPN ranking. We're going to tell you our ranking. And then break down into the final three categories, which is a random yes or no, a hypothetical, and a drink up Steven award, which is eat up Steven.
Either or.
Which is weak link. It's the weak link award, where we just kind of just highlight the weakest link. So let's get straight into the Timberwolves. Dan's favorite team. They finished with a 16-66, that's 666 record last year, putting them in dead last place in the West, which would have put them about, what, third in the East? And, yeah, I don't know what to say. They got Kevin Garnett back last year. They got a million draft picks, and this year they got the number one draft pick. So ESPN has ranked them at 15th again.
It's a development year.
Yeah, I have them at 13th. I think there's a couple teams that are going to do worse than them.
I had them at 14th.
I've got them at 14th as well. I had a long, hard think about putting them at 13th.
Mm-hmm. How could you possibly think they're going to do worse than the Nuggets in Portland?
Well, that's the question.
Come on. We'll save that for later. So, Bagman, do you want to break down the key additions? And then maybe, Rabbit, you can talk about the key subtractions?
Yeah, there's not super too many key additions. You highlighted Karl Anthony Towns, number one pick. That's massive, obviously. Got fucking Tayshaun Prince's creepy bone structure. Andre Miller's 50-year-old ass doing his thing. They got Tyus Jones, who had a good college season, finished pretty strong as well. But the story is Towns. That's the only
Kentucky's
guy's going to make a difference.
And can I ask why you think or who you think's going to be last if they're not going to be dead last?
Denver.
Yeah, that's what I've got as well.
Denver.
Okay.
It's not a bad team, this Minnesota team, if you look from top to bottom. They're 10 deep. Yeah. That really gets me excited when a team's 10 deep. Yeah. I think they're going to defend pretty well. They got above average defenders, Rubio, Garnett, and the big guys. So Towns is sort of projecting as a base, and Wiggins looks like he'll be able to.
It's going
to
be a standout year for Wiggins. That's what they're saying. Well, standout.
Well, it has to be. It has to be, doesn't it? Because now we got to figure out if he's going to turn into something really special or if he's just going to be like an above average player. Yeah.
Are they going to start Towns? You can't start Garnett.
No, they're
not
going to start Towns.
Really?
But why do they have Gorgui Dieng as the starting center?
Gorgui?
Yeah, over
Gorgui.
Over Pekovic?
Yeah, because Pekovic can't walk down the court once without breaking fucking both of his ankles ever.
He's super fragile. Oh,
okay. So it's just because he's been very injury prone of late.
Yeah, but it's gonna be like a rotating cast of bigs, and I think the team they start the year with in terms of their starting five is going to be different at the end, depending on how Towns comes on and who stays healthy and if Garnett gives a fuck anymore. Yeah. But
well, they got.
I wouldn't be surprised if any four of those guys start any combination.
Which is Ricky Rubio. Anyone think he's going to make it through the whole season?
I'd like to think so. He just signed a massive contract last year. It's kind of like put up or shut up. Like, everyone's been giving him a lot of credit for a long time. He's been like the protege for a long time. And, you know, rightly so. He's an amazing passer, but the guy's got to learn to shoot. He needs to run an offense. For me, it's like he's on this season or it's done with me. Yeah. I don't know about Rubio. They got no D, guys. There's no D at all there.
No D? No D.
Towns maybe in the lane. That's about it.
Garnett can still defend.
For the 3 minutes he's on the court.
Yep, absolutely. Mm. Gorgui Dieng can block shots. He's proven that in the past. He's not super retarded in the post. Wiggins should be able to guard people, and Rubio is definitely an above-average defender for his position.
They were terrible last year on D.
They didn't fucking have anyone last year. Rubio missed 60 games. Kevin Martin missed 40 games, Pekovic 50 games, and Shabazz Muhammad, who I think is going to be an underground beast this year, he missed 40 games as well. Yeah. So they were running a fucking D-League team for a lot of the year. They don't have the same sort of depth that they do going into this season.
And they only Zach LaVine and Kevin Martin as shooting guards, and they have four point guards. So maybe one of those guys is going to help out and play shooting guard as well.
Well, I think Kevin Martin's going to be a sneaky eye to be traded because he's sort of the odd man out. They've either got like super young dudes Wiggins and Levine and Rubio and Towns, obviously. Or there's super old dudes, KG, Andre Miller and Tayshaun Prince. And Kevin Mullins is still sort of on the edge of his prime.
He's could valuable. Put
a good yeah. team over the top. Yep. Yeah, and it just doesn't really fit in. They don't want to win now. He's on like a half-decent deal. It's like $7 million a year or something like that. So, you know, I think him and his weird corkscrew jumper might get shifted to some other team at some stage for some future development type players.
Yeah. Well, he's under 6 feet in a shooting guard. Probably go to the Suns. Yeah, I'm just going to say there, even though you guys put him at second last, I put him at 13th. The two teams I put below them, I still think they're more exciting and they're going to be more interesting to watch than the Nuggets in Portland this year.
You're not worried about who's going to score?
Well, I think Andrew Wiggins is going to score all the points. And I think Kem Garnett's going to go start for about 4.5 minutes and then Carl Anthony is going to come on. We'll get into the weak link board in a second.
No one can shoot threes on this team except Kevin Martin off the bench.
Yeah,
if he's off the bench. So that's a massive concern.
I'm more worried about their O. But yeah. Muhammad, he's 6'6", and he averaged 14 a game last year before he went down.
Shabazz. Okay. Do you want to talk about the key subtractions, Rabbit?
They just lost filler, like Chase Bunninger, Hamilton. I mean, Gary Neal. They didn't really lose that much. Like, I think they gained a little bit more in young talent. This moving around
key players.
And stuff, yeah, it's yes. not much there.
All right, well, let's get into the yes or no. Who's doing this one? Rabbit, you're doing the yes or no.
Will Ricky Rubio ever get a good jump shot?
Yeah.
C, a good haircut? Or C, get knocked out by a Kevin Garnett brain explosion this season?
I'm going to go with A. I think he's going to get a good jump shot. Maybe that's where some of the offense is going to come from.
No, you can just answer yes or no to all of those. Yeah.
Okay, go through them one at a time, and we can do a yes or no. Okay. I'm keen.
Jump shot, yes or no?
No.
Really? Never. None?
Haircut.
Nah. See, this is the one that's got the most potential.
Maybe.
I say yes.
All right, I'll go yes.
Get knocked out by KG, brain explosion. Incidental elbow or something like that.
He's too old to get that crazy anymore.
I think Levine had copper punch before Rubio. He's too brash. He's brash.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into a hypothetical. This is where we break down a mystical idea, something just a bit hypothetical, a bit crazy.
I love how it's become mystical after your one from the East.
Sorry.
Mystical's a great word.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what it means. I mean, like, it's hypothetical. It's like, hey, we're talking about something that might never happen. Enjoy listening.
It's the anchor that gives your imagination the freedom to soar.
Yeah, there you go.
So much freedom. So much.
All right, let's do it. What do you got, hypothetical me, Bag?
Well, my one is based around receiving a 10-second naked hug from the following players. So imagine what you prefer in terms of receiving a 10-second hug naked. Would you rather receive the one from Nikola Pekovic after an intense practice or a freshly showered Tayshaun Prince?
Jesus. Probably.
I'm going to go, yeah.
Pekovic?
Nah, dude. Freshly showered Prince. Pekovic is huge. Fuck that.
Yeah, you'd probably just pop all sorts of Tayshaun's like junk.
Fresh showered, bro.
There's no flesh. You could close your eyes and pretend it was like some fat chick or just fleshy.
Or like a bear. Sort of,
yeah, sure.
Or who's the dude from Street Fighter?
Zangief.
Yeah.
Zangief.
Nobody wants to be hugged by Zangief. I'll go with the skeleton. Yeah.
No one wants to get hugged by Dalsim either.
I'm with Pekovic, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Rabbit. I just think, like, that's what nightmares are made of. Tayshaun Prince, can you imagine? He's like, I reckon he'd have, like, a running temperature of about 6 degrees as well. He looks like he's made out of ice. Just be cold, bony limbs all up in you. It'd be fucking hectic.
So scary.
All right, well, that moves into our last section of this breathtaking Minnesota breakdown. The weak link award for me, the weak link is Zach LaVine. I think too much kind of carried over from the slam dunk comp, and having him as your starting shooting guard great for the highlights, but I don't know how you guys feel about it. Basketball IQ.
He's still pretty young.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like him coming off the bench for maybe another year.
Well, I think Kevin Martin's going to get most of those minutes at the two guards, surely.
But he's not starting.
I mean, they might give him the shot. You know, he's had a year under his belt.
Well, and
you know, if he develops, that's
cool. Can Levine shoot bag?
Not really.
Oh, no, it's developing. But it's not outrageous that he could develop a shot, you know, in the next couple of years. But I think this is going to be a side effect of having your GM and your coach be the same person. Mm. Flip Saunders, may he get better, hectic, cancer, whatever. But, you know, he's obviously going to be thinking about the future and building up that young talent. There's nothing really in it for Martin unless they want to boost up his trade value. So I think it's more of like a thinking down the line thing. Based on talent alone, I would start Kevin Martin for sure, but I don't think it's about that.
Yeah. Well, he's my weak link. I think a little too much hype. I mean, the slam dunk comp was epic, but prove me wrong.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, let's move on to the second team, and just big ups to everyone listening to the Full Court Press podcast. If you're listening, and if you're listening to iTunes, we appreciate it. Appreciate the subscribes. We're going to move into the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, there's so much gossip to start with, but 21-61 last season. They finished 14th last year, and ESPN is really all in with all the work they've been doing and going to give them 14th again.
Where have you got him, Wesley?
I've got him at 12th.
Me too. Well, are we going to be like, have our periods aligned again? Yeah. Is this happening?
I don't know. I can't believe
I got him higher. I got him at 11th. 11th. Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's break it down. This could be Kobe's last year, but has anyone noticed there's a guy named Meta World Peace that's joined the team?
Fuck.
I don't know if anyone noticed that. So just when you thought it might become a normal franchise, he's been sprinkled in, and
not talking about it. There's other things.
Well, he is
about.
Talking about one thing. He said one thing, and I want to bring it up because he's there to you know, help the young ones. And he said, quote, it's not really a man's game anymore.
Oh, I did read that.
I just wanted to know if anyone has any feedback or thought about that comment. You know,
he's probably still bitter that he can't jump into the stands and knock fans out or something like that. This is a guy, remember, who was instigated the malice in the palace, so whatever, it's gross.
Let's definitely move on.
All right, key additions to this Los Angeles Lakers team: Brandon Bass from Boston, Anthony Brown from Stanford.
Are we doing the key additions or every motherfucker that walked into the gym?
Well, key additions would just be Roy Hibbert, the number two pick, D'Angelo Russell, and sweet double banger Lou Williams. That's because he's got two girlfriends. If you don't know it, you haven't been listening to our podcast. He's got two beautiful girlfriends. One, both are black girls, one with blonde hair and one with brown hair. Come on. Living the dream.
That's great.
What do you think?
I like that starting five. I mean, D'Angelo Russell, Kobe, Nick Young, Julius Randle, Roy Hibbert. Yep. That can compete with most teams, Kobe's, like respectable basketball there.
Randle's maybe been loving playing in preseason, and Kobe says he's like Lamar Odom in Zach Randolph's body. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's got to say that, that's though, doesn't true. He?
I don't know how I feel about him talking trash to Draymond Green because he blew by him in a preseason game and got the foul instead of the and one because he was about to score or whatever and saying he can't guard me. Really?
That's awesome. That's what Draymond Green would have said. That's fine.
Yeah, but
like,
Draymond
go.
Green's
go, young buck.
Yeah, but you know, true. I agree what you're saying, but like Draymond Green's the champion.
Sure, but he would have said the same thing to like a Randolph or or an Aldridge or someone like that. It's great.
Yeah. So you
my biggest thing with this team is, can Kobe handle losing a lot of games or deferring to the young guys so they can experience taking big shots, etc. Sort of giving the rookies a chance in clutch moments over him taking over and forcing, you know, a jump shot, double teamed fadeaway for the win. Like,
I don't see that happening ever.
Think about it. He's had 2 years off. He's been super injured in terms of he's been injured in a way where he's had to sort of refocus on his legacy, if you will. And now he's at a point where he might be handing this team over. you would argue he wants to, I think he wants to be, he just got two huge years. He could fade off into the sunset really well. I just don't think like him forcing these shots, et cetera, trying to be the hero is the right way to go about it. Whether or not he does that or not, that is the question. Well, do you think, you just think it's not a question? He's just going to be glorious all season.
0% chance. 0% chance that he would give up a game-winning shot to, for the benefit of someone else. He's just not wired that way. We've seen the last 2 years, he's taken every contested jump shot to win games that he possibly could. He doesn't trust anyone else. I don't think if he was on the same team as LeBron, he would want anyone shooting a game-winning shot, or Paul Pierce, or anyone for that matter. I don't think he's wired like that. I don't think he thinks that anyone's better qualified to take a game-winning shot than he is.
True. Remember when he came out after getting injured and he had to shoot those free throws, even though he was like done his Achilles, and he walked back out. He is wired that way. And I think it's going to be detrimental to them if that's the case.
Yeah, well, that's what's a bit of a head scratcher, because they've got these two young studs, Randall and Russell, which is an enviable position to be in, to have two super talented young players like that. Mm-hmm. And then they just surrounded them with people that want to take the ball out of their hands, like Kobe and Nick Young, and even Lou Williams is a bit of a black hole. So I don't know what they're going for.
The thing I'm kind of most interested to see is, because obviously Randall's awesome, but he's young, so he's going to make some mistakes. And I think Roy Hibbert's just going to sweep up a lot of scraps. And I think Roy Hibbert's going to have a better year than he has in a couple years due to being surrounded by the young ones.
And it's a contract year. He's got and there's big money on the table next year. So you see it routinely. Big guys that sort of get by, and then in a contract year they just erupt. So I really wouldn't be surprised if he turns back the clock a little bit, and you know, finally puts up some decent rebounding numbers.
Yeah, but he's got like his role. He's got to focus on rebounding, and he's going to focus on defense, which is, you know, something he does and what he was known for.
Yeah, and he's going to get all the scraps.
Sure, and Randall can. They can work Randall into the offense at the four spot, and maybe he gets a few more looks. Like, people can do their job well on this team, hopefully, without everyone squabbling and fighting over minutes and shots.
Yeah.
It's just, again, it's all going to be on the Kobe factor. It's gnarly.
Yeah.
And because you can see what would happen. They could just get over it and not develop and not get the touches and the looks they want. They trade Randall after next season or halfway through the season because he's unhappy or he speaks out or he has a go at Kobe. And then, you know, that's 1 year wasted, a half year, and then he's out. And it would be a real shame, I reckon, because I like his style. I like his game.
Yeah, but look at the construction of this team. You were worried about Minnesota's defense? Mm. Have a look at these guys that are named Roy Hibbert playing defense on this team. Kobe and Nick Young and Lou Williams and D'Angelo Russell, who's a rookie. No one's playing defense. Brandon Bass. Yeah, they've got no two-way players. They're all either all offense guys or all defense guys. So I just don't like the construction. It feels like the Knicks are from last year. It's all these pieces and it kind of looks sexy on paper, but it's not a good, cohesive, balanced team.
There's enough good NBA players on this team to be much better than the Knicks. And, you know, Kobe scoring 35 points a night, you know, consistently is enough to get them, you know, a little bit like not in the bottom of the West. You know, he could almost will them to like 12th or 11th spot doing that.
If he can do
it. I don't trust them to generate good shots. They're not a fast-breaking team. And they don't really have that many good half-court options.
And just
they're all mid-range jump shooters. Nick Young, it's all contested, solo, not high percentage shots that they generate. And Byron Scott only just said that three-pointers are exciting, like it's the fucking mid-80s. What's the go?
I don't know about him as coach.
I don't like him as coach at all. Well, and let's talk about maybe who they lost. Where the fuck is Carlos Boozer? Where is he?
He's in the fucking Shadowlands. That's where he is.
He's just not playing for an NBA team. He's gone. Ed Davis to Portland. Are you pumped about that bag?
Well, as much as he can be about a career reserve coming over. But yeah, he's handy.
And then they swapped Roy Hibbert for Jordan Hill. He's over in Indiana. Wesley Johnson is over in LA. Jeremy Lin Sanity over to Charlotte. Jordan loves it. He's pumped. And Ronnie Price to Phoenix because he's the smallest guy on that list, basically. So it's great.
How does everyone feel about D'Angelo Russell?
From what I've seen, he looks pretty exciting.
Dude, he's got corn rolls in a mohawk with a purple fucking headband. It's pretty hectic, but
that's cool. Hey, if you can back it up, like some of those looks he's been throwing in preseason have been pretty epic.
I'm all in on him. I think he's going to be amazing. At the very least, he's going to be one of those guys that is fun to watch for a long time. I don't want to say like white chocolate, but you know, you couldn't say that white chocolate was an excellent player, but you knew he was always going to do cool shit. And I feel like Russell's going to be that sort of a player. He's sort of got balls and he's got good style, and I'm into it. I think he's going to be money.
Let's go into the yes or no's. Again, we're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. Yes or no bag.
Will Lou Williams still have two girlfriends by the end of the season?
No, he'll have four.
Yeah, he's in LA now.
Dude. Yeah, just worried about those road trips to Denver with Kobe, you know? Like,
he's that edgy.
You don't want to take him to every away game, I'll tell you that much.
So edgy.
Yeah, lovely. What about you, Rabbit? What do you think?
I'm saying yes. Yeah. If he's managed to do it so far and keep it going.
Good for him.
He must be happy, you know?
Yeah. All right. And hypothetical, Kobe retires at the end of this year. Does Kobe get into being a businessman, you know, building brands, his water bottle company, continuing the Kobe legacy of his shoes? Does he try doing some head office management or maybe some coaching? Does he join the TNT crew? Or do you think he does absolutely nothing to do with basketball? Rabbit. No.
Well, he's super psyched on. He's got a production company or a film company. Yep. Like that. The Kobe Doco was the first project with that. So I think he's into, like, he's got this arty side. He thinks he's some sort of director, or he's definitely high on himself in that regard. Okay. So what do you maybe think? Something basketball related in an arty sort of sense. But I think he's out. I don't think he'll come back. I don't think he'd come back and coach or be some sort of scout or some sort of nuts.
What do you think, Bag?
I think he's going to do what he's always done and copy Jordan. Probably earn enough money with his vitamin water and whatnot.
Baseball.
Yeah, Jordan rides, Kobe rides the bus.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon he'll go into ownership. I reckon he'll try and make enough money to get a piece of a team.
I agree. And, wouldn't it be funny if he gets involved with the Charlotte Hornets and him and Jordan are helping choose players together, and then they
couldn't
agree.
Happen.
They couldn't agree on a single thing, and they end up just fighting the whole time. It'd be so good. Yeah.
It'd be a good movie, VG.
All right. Weak Link Award. Rabbit.
Hate to be predictable, but like, what the fuck with World Peace? Why is he even there?
Yeah.
It's some sort of mentor role or something. Really? The young guys are going to listen to a guy like that? Guy who elbows, claims to like be celebrating while he elbows James Harden in the head? A guy who wears fucking pandas on his shoes, who changed his name.
At least he can play defense. You mean, is he more of a weak link than Nick Young?
He's insane. He's batshit insane.
Yeah.
He's not a role model. He's not someone you want to like pattern your career after. No way. It's a fucking myth. It's a hoax. Fuck him off.
All right. Well, next up is the Denver Nuggets, high altitude team, guys, with a. They finished with a 30-52 record. That gets you 12th in the West. And ESPN has graced them with a 13th this year. So you're going to do worse. They think they're going to do worse. Where did you guys have them? I had them at dead last.
Yep, I agree.
Oh, great. Excellent. Go team.
If it was a ranking for the most jungle team, they'd probably be first.
Yeah.
with Moutier and Farid and Hickson, come on.
Yeah.
It's very purple.
Yeah, I guess Ty Lawson's the biggest name on there for people you lost.
Yeah, I reckon Lawson is the main reason why I've got them at 15th, because even though he was on the Terps and shit last year, he had pretty much a close to an all-star season still. Mm. He was first in their team in points, also in assists and steals. He played 75 games. Like, that's a pretty good year.
Fantasy gold.
I feel like that's just like a huge amount to take away from a team that really needs all of that.
Yeah.
very badly, and you're replacing him with a rookie point guard. It's just going to be a huge downgrade, I think. And they only won 30 games last year. I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped to 20 games, and that's if they stay completely healthy.
A big if with Gallinari out there.
Well, Rabbit, do you want to go into the key additions for the glorious Denver Nuggets?
Oh, gross. Mike Miller. Yeah. It's huge. Yeah, yeah, Mike Miller and his back.
Nothing, really.
It's pretty sad.
Well, Moutier,
sorry, of course, is the rookie, yeah. Who's legit, by the way. I think he's going to be pretty money, but there's a lot of pressure on him.
He spent a year in the Chinese league, right?
Yeah, he averaged 18 a game in China.
China.
But it's like Wiggins last year, even though Wiggins had like a really good year last year and he averaged 17 a game, that was still good for dead last easily.
Yeah.
And I just think he's going to have the same sort of struggles and he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot.
Yeah. Yes or no? Will Manimal be traded before the All-Star game?
Nah. I think with Mike Malone, who's the new coach there, who was the coach in Sacramento last year and got fired, he sort of knows what's up. He knows that they're going to have to be a run-and-gun team. They've got a new point guard, a young point guard who want to get out and run on the break. And Fareed's perfect for that. Fareed's perfect for Denver because he's so active. He's a pest. It's the high altitude. He's the perfect Denver player. I'd want him to be a piece of everything that I'm doing going forward. Yes. You just got to make it work for him around him.
And he's still quite young.
Yeah, he's got time. Yeah, they would have got rid of him earlier if they were going to blow it up and they wanted to get something back for him, but they don't. And they know they got to build around him again. So he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. So their two best players are Manimal and Gallinari. That's it.
Yeah, I'd like to see Randy Foyd do something. He's on a contract year, but you know, I've always liked him, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
I know. I'm sad. I like Wilson Chandler as well.
I like Wilson Chandler too,
but he seems
to. We like Wilson Chandler because he's got rad tattoos all over his neck. But like,
he's got good games.
He can shoot a three. He can shoot a three.
Yeah, but they sort of got something interesting if everything goes well, because you've got Gallinari and Chandler. You're going to be playing a lot of minutes together, and they can go super small because those guys have still got decent size.
They both play small forward. So who changes position if they're both running at the same time?
Well, Gallinari's 6'8".
So he can play power forward.
The way it's going, he can guard power forwards for sure, as well as he can guard anyone, which isn't very well.
Does that mean Kenneth Fareed is a center then?
Well, I think you're gonna see lineups with those three guys on the court at the same time.
Definitely.
For sure. They're gonna be trying to run people off the floor. And then you got Nurkic as well, who's this big Euro, big Eastern block.
He can anchor. He can certainly anchor. It's like, but it's all what ifs, you know, like Gallinari's gotta stay healthy and he's gotta be productive. They've got to rely on him every night. Like Fareed's gotta be a beast. Moutier's gotta like blossom and, you know, have like a rookie of the year kind of season, and that's just to be respectable. Otherwise, it's fucking ugly, and they're finishing last.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you have it. Why don't you hit us with a hypothetical then, Rabbit?
Okay. So speaking of like real hypotheticals and just how shit Denver just were, it's the finals, and Denver have made it, right? But the demons have come out, and Mike Miller's back. He's had an epic season, but it's gone to shit. So. And Ty Lawson's still there, by the way.
Yeah.
Would you rather, and you have to play, would you rather Mike Miller's back for 7 games against, like, say, Milwaukee, because they're going to be epic. And then you have to be Mike Miller, or would you rather be drunk for the whole time and be Ty Lawson and have to play?
Dude, I've seen anyone seen the movie Flight with Denzel Washington? Come on, you can land a plane. I'm going to go drunk.
Can't shoot free throws. Can't shoot when you're drunk.
He doesn't need to. He's passing all the time.
Yeah, I'm going drunk Ty Lawson for sure. A bit of confidence.
Jesus.
A bit of like unpredictability. You don't know what he's going to do. Big game throb.
Dehydration. Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, you have to.
Somebody running around with Mike Miller on a forklift thing, just wheeling him around. And then he shoots a three, drops his shoe, pick him up.
Yeah,
cradle it'll
hit it. It'll fucking hit it though. That's the thing.
Yeah, totally. All right, weak link bag. Who's the weak link on this team?
Well, I'd love to heap on Mike Mirror, so I'm just going to heap on Mike Mirror. Of course, it's fucking Mike Mirror. Yeah. It's all. Who else? Like, look at the finals last year. Cleveland, we're running about four dudes. They're looking down the end of the bench, and they're like, Oh, the Waterboy's almost getting a look. Dellavedova's in the mix. Hey, Mike Miller, you want to play 20 minutes? He's like, nah, man. Yeah, my knees. I'm right. I'll be cool. I just want to stand here and give high fives and be encouraging on my shit tattoos and my weird goatee. He looks like he's the singer from a 90s grunge band.
He fucking mustered up a ton of like courage to get on the floor and dive for one loose ball that got replayed like 20 times.
He's got a house in Miami, and from his living room, you can see the pool from his kitchen, I think, looking down. I think once you're there, who cares?
He's just going to Denver for the weed now. Yeah. He's on the medicinal.
Fucking
A. Smart. He forced his way out of Portland. He's like, fuck that. I'm going to BC all day.
I'm pretty sure you can get super hot. Isn't Oregon like super liberal with it as well?
Didn't it they is. Just pass they love laws? It. They've already made more money off weed in Oregon than they have alcohol.
Yeah,
year.
It's wild.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, do you know a good weed guy in Oregon, VG?
There are a couple. You know, there's so many to choose.
You don't
from
need
up
one.
There.
You just walk into a dispensary now. Come on.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Spencer, Dad's house. One of those things would be, you know, sufficient. All right. Well, let's move into the next team. This is the first part of a three-part. Western Conference breakdown. We only have two teams left, and the next team we're going to talk about is the 13th place last year Sacramento Kings, 29-53. ESPN has them at 12th this year. Guys, guess what? I got them at 7th.
Oh, that's seven. Such a fucking I thought I was reaching.
Yeah. I know. I think they're going to do better than Dallas. I think they're going to do better than the Pelicans, the Jazz, the Suns, the Lakers, the Timberwolves in Portland. I'm all in Sacramento. Rabbit, they're kind of like my Milwaukee of the West.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, everyone needs a Milwaukee, bro.
Yeah, everyone does. Sacramento most of all. And I think the NBA was ready to really get behind it. They were going to release that big 30 for 30 about how they kept Sacramento Kings there. KJ.
But it turns Kevin out Don- Kevin Johnson's. The
yeah. pedo. Yeah. That's so heavy.
What happened? Do we want to just break that down before we talk about the team?
Oh, heavy. Bag, you got this.
Well, the long and short of it is when there was like one of his foundations?
Yep.
He was one of his Kevin Johnson pedo foundation or something like that he was running down in Sacramento, and he had a 15-year-old staffer there, this young girl, and he... You know, as you do when you're your boss of a 15-year-old, you invite him back to your place, watch a bit of TV, get naked,
on. Yeah.
Rub your dick against her leg, shower together, and all the while not allowing her to say anything. You hear that? She wasn't allowed to talk, instructed to be kept quiet the whole time. And then he allegedly paid her off to the tune of 200 grand to keep quiet about it all.
Go to a brothel.
So,
yeah, totally. Yeah. Hang out with Lamar. Do some crack for 4 days. Deal with it. Oh. It's crazy. So they 30 for 30 killed the whole documentary. And it's just sitting on the shelf doing nothing because you can't highlight what a great guy he is if he's
not a great guy.
Heavy petting 15-year-olds.
All right. So where do you think they're going to finish, Rabbit?
I got him at 13.
13. I got him at 9.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I like where you're going, Bag. I think you're way more on.
There's
13th,
too many egos,
dude. DeMarcus Cousins is not going to get 13th this year.
You remember how optimistic we were last season about this shit?
Yeah.
And then they just – and now they've
added – Now they got a point guard.
They've added – look at these – oh, point guard, Rondo. Look at these egos sitting there. Yep. Okay. George Karl.
Ego.
Boogie.
Ego.
Rondo.
Ego.
And Vladdy. You think all those guys can coexist together?
Rudy Gay's got some emotions going on there, too. He's looking great, too.
I like Rudy Gay. I like a starting five. Like, look at that starting five.
Rajon.
Rondo. McLemore, Rudy Gay, Cousins, Kufis. Like, on paper, that's money.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And I am optimistic about that, but look at the head cases there.
They got Darren Collison as the backup point guard, and then Seth Curry is the third. You know, Bellinelli's coming over. He's just on fire at the moment. Crum Butler,
yep.
He can lazy eye the shit out of everyone. I like this team.
Wanted to trade Cousins like midway through last season.
I don't know if we can officially say that's real. If a reporter asks you,
Boogie thought it was real.
Yeah, but Boogie's a bit of a character on social network. You see what he tweeted today when Thompson got paid $82 million?
No.
He's like, how much?
Yeah. It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. I think
I'm with you. I totally want to be optimistic about it, but I was more optimistic last season and look what happened. And now you add all these guys to the fire. I just can't see it. I mean, hey.
Yeah, but like, hopefully. Can I ask you something really quickly? Can that team beat Portland? You know, can that team beat the Nuggets? Can that team beat the Timberwolves?
Of course.
That team beat the Lakers? Can that team beat the Suns?
Can Seth Curry outshoot his brother? Sure. Of course he
no,
can.
No. He might. No, he can't. He can't. That's a no. That's a no. You know, can
I
they beat the Jazz?
Too optimistic about this. You're not looking at the mental state of this team. It's not.
I think Sacramento finally have a big three. I think all the
who's the third?
Rondo, Gay, and
Rondo. What year are you living in?
He's on a 1-year, $10 million contract, and then he's lucky to get that. And that's just so they can fuck him off if he causes shit again mid-season or a third into the season. Nah, you think he's going to listen to George Karl? No, I don't see it. I'm sorry.
He single-handedly torpedoed Dallas' season last year.
That was with Carlisle. George,
that was bad.
Tell me.
I know all that. I'm just. I got a feeling. Tonight's going to be a good night.
Yeah, okay. All right.
That better be the last Black Eyed Peas reference you ever make on this podcast, VG.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not fucking around. I don't know, man. I'm not super confident with my pick, though. To be fair, there's definitely concern there because Boogie, he had an amazing year last year. Like, how much better can he really get than he did last year? Put up 24 and 12.
What about Quincy Acey? Are you pumped about Quincy Acey from New York coming over?
No.
No? not at all? With the bald head and the epic beard? What about
Reggie Evans on a slim fast diet? That's who he is.
What about Costa Kufos as the backup center?
See, this is good. I like a lot of people
love
talk
him.
About how it's really a center and this how they got Willie Cauley Stein and Kufos, but I kind of like it because they're going to do all the dirty work. Plus this Cauley Stein is like a champion runner and he can, you know, they're projecting him to be able to guard 1-5. So it's pretty good for Boogie to be able to, if they're playing against stretch fours and whatnot, to have Cauley Stein guard guys out on the perimeter and he can hang near the bucket. Or if they're playing, they can go super small, play Rudy Gay at the four. And some combination of Collison, Rondo, and whoever's feeling it on the wings, whether it's McLemore or Bellinelli. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting as well. So I kind of like, and it's good as well with Rondo that he doesn't want to shoot because they do have two guys that score 20 a game with Rudy Gay and Boogie. And so you're freeing up shots for McLemore and Bellinelli.
And Butler's there too. Karan Butler, he's super handy. He's like a jack of all trades. Yeah, he's a good pocket kind of guy.
Everyone's going to have to look him directly in the face every day. And that's going to be a test. That's going to be the biggest test.
Yeah, he's freaky looking.
And the fourth point guard, David Stockton. That's not John Stockton's son, is it?
No. Yeah, I believe it is.
Really?
Yeah.
No, surely
not. He was playing college ball last year, right?
I think so. Think about it. Look it up. Prove us wrong.
I totally want to believe it, but I can't see it. And like with the ownership there, and just the toxic sort of vibe in that organization for the last year or so, I can't take them seriously. I really want to, but...
Well, it's pretty apparent when you see they've added 9 players and lost 9 players. I mean, that's a lot of players, you know? I don't like the coach.
You don't like the coach? You don't like George Karl?
Maybe he's a great coach. He's been doing it for a very long time.
Yeah, well, he ran Ray Ray out of town when he got to Milwaukee to get Gary Payton. And I think if the front office weren't being so headstrong about it, that there's a good chance that he might have traded Boogie as well. You know, he wants to play fast pace. Yep. And he doesn't have a fast pace team. He 100% has a half-court team. And so this might be one of those situations where it's like Brian Shaw in Denver last year where he tried to shoehorn this half-court offense into a team that was built to run. And it doesn't work. So it might be the opposite of that here, that these guys aren't built to run. They should play half court, and if he doesn't know any other style that's going to work for this team, then that could be an issue. That's why I'm nervous anyway.
Totally, you should be. Mm. He seems to get results out of guys short term, and it's all good for a while. But eventually, he's either going to clash with the ownership, he's going to piss someone off, he's going to say something narky, or he'll do. Remember, like all the tweets and shit. The boys were like Iggy tweeted Snake. Who else tweeted? Oh, Lawson was tweeting Snake. Remember last year, and it was all directed at Karl. So.
I don't know. It is John Stockton's kid, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. So, all right. Yes or no, Rabbit?
Stockton.
Yeah.
Give me a yes or no, Rabbit.
Oh, sorry. Well, my yes or no is
yes or no.
Will Rondo fuck this team up before George Karl does?
Yes. I say yes.
And then part two, will Vladdy fuck it all up before either of those two?
I'm going to go yes, no.
Okay. Did you answer, Bag?
Yeah. With the second one, I feel like he's probably just going to – he's already got Payer on the rotation. I think the team's just going to be full of Europeans by the end of the season.
Yeah.
He's going to trade Boogie for Nurkic or Mirotic or one of these people.
So does that fuck it before Rondo fucks it?
Rondo's going to fuck it from day dot.
Yeah, hard. Yes. So yeah.
All right. Hypothetical, Bag.
Okay. I can't help but think of the Sacramento Kings without thinking about the early 2000 era Chris Webber, Mike Bibby, White Chocolate, Doug Christie, Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, and can I just interrupt you? Sorry, just 1 second. Like, I'm eternally optimistic about Sacramento, like, for that team and the success they'd never got. And it's fucking depressing that nothing ever good happens there. And I want to be optimistic for them, but I just can't with this team. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Keep going.
That's why they need to know the team. Yeah. Sacramento.
Yeah, no
sucks.
One's going to bring their 15-year-old daughters there anymore, that's for sure.
See, like, it's just their curse.
There's only one thing that's ever come out of Sacramento that's good. It's the Deftones. Nothing else. Nothing.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, obviously C. Webb was a massive part, the heartbeat of those teams. And I wonder, at the end of the day, who's going to have the better NBA career out of C. Webb and Boogie Cousins?
Geez, that's a good one.
Just as a refresher, C-Web averaged 20 and 10 over 14 seasons, plus 4 assists a game, regarded as one of the best passing big men to ever play the game.
Never really did well in the playoffs. Never.
He's a complete tool as well. Yeah, his commentary shit. His fashion sense is a bit rubbish.
He's probably gay. I'm going to go C-Web.
He is. I think Webber, yeah. Even though he's a bit douchey. Yep.
All right. What do you think, Bag?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't know. What is Boogie going to do anything more than going 25 and 14 max?
That's great.
Where his peak.
He's kind of where C. Webb was when he left Golden State, you could say. He's still super young. So he still could have, another 6-7 years at least. So you get a good trade and you get onto a good team and start doing some damage. But C. Webb went to Washington and they never really did too much either, did they? And then he got to Sacramento.
They went to the playoffs. He won everywhere, basically.
Yep. Anyway. All right. And weak link. I have emotions is the weak link. Boogeyman in general, plus the weird vibes of the coach. You got the walking tampon Rondo, and Gay can get pretty emotional. So emotion is the weak link for this team.
That's pretty good.
Emotion.
Yep.
It is the weakest link of all. All right. Well, let's move into the last team in this podcast, Western Conference Breakdown. Part one, Portland Trailblazers, 51-31 last year. They blew the team up. ESPN has them at 11th. Last year, they got 4th. That's quite a drop. Why the drop, Bag? Why are they dropping?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because they lost 80% of their starting lineup.
Yep. All right, we'll talk.
That would explain it.
Who's? Why don't we start with subtractions first with this team?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, LaMarcus is huge, obviously, and that was the tipping point for Batum, Robin Lopez, Wesley Matthews, and Aflalo to go. The only bright note there is Steve Blake got washed out with him, which is just wonderful.
And where do you have him?
I've got him at 13th.
Okay. I got him at 15th. I think they're going to get dead last on purpose.
On purpose?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
They're going to do a bit of a tank, yeah. That's why I put them at very bottom, below the Timberwolves and Nuggets. I think they're going to try and lose a couple games on purpose, maybe, to get...
No, the players won't tank, and the coach won't tank. So it's like the only way they can tank is by personnel. So, like, do you think that team is a worse team than Denver?
Yeah, Myers Leonard is your starting center, and then Mason Plumlee off the bench. It's weird.
Is that the good Plumlee?
Yeah, yes. It is.
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
So they don't lose. They're not wired to lose.
Leonard as your starting center?
Yeah, you don't know how that's going to shake out. It's highly likely that
Chris Gaiman,
Plumlee or Ed Davis or Vonleh, this is going to be the same sort of situation as Minnesota. I think the bigs are going to change. And they were sort of right to tank, I think. I think they were right to blow it up.
I think
they were blowing it up already. Remember, they traded Batoon before Aldridge walked. Don't forget that. And that was a big deal. He went to Charlotte. I don't know if they, you know, there's a good interview with Zach Lowe and Neil Oshley, is it?
The GM? Yes, I love it when you can't pronounce shit. It's the greatest.
Just roll with it. Anyway,
Neil Olshay.
Yeah. And like those guys are super optimistic, that organization. Like, remember they had all this shit with Greg Oden back in the day as well, where they banked everything on him and it went to shit and they built that up, and Brandon Roy and all that. You know, he was their franchise and that went to shit.
Sam Bowie.
Yeah. And they recover well. They've been here before. I think the culture's good there and they can still build around Lillard. Maybe they can make some moves. And
I still think they're worse than Denver.
No, I don't think so.
Looking at that roster.
When all the trades went down and everyone left in free agency, I remember looking up and down the roster and going, that's the worst roster in the West. I remember thinking that. Yeah. But that was before Ty Lawson bailed from Denver. Because you look at like Portland's top two players and Damian Lillard and anyone else, that's going to be the worst top two in the league probably, no matter who it is. And that's a concern. But you can't really blame him for doing it. I agree with Rabbit. I reckon they had to look at the Wes Matthews situation after all of the injury trouble that he just spoke about and said, we're not having a bar of that. You know, we can't risk that. So Wes Matthews is out. That's understandable.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think they knew LaMarcus was going to go as well.
Yeah.
So at that stage, like you said, the Batum thing happened because they were ready to blow it up right away. They got a young, unproven piece for a proven piece. And that's
knew what was happening straight away. Like, I think it was the first or second day of free agency. They got Aminu and they got Ed Davis straight away. So they know they're just plugging holes for a while. They can see how Lillard reacts to this. They're going to see what Leonard does. I mean, Henderson's, you know, he can potentially be a decent shooting guard. It's a shit hand they got dealt. But I think that it's a winning culture and they can do better next season. But I don't think they're going to be, like, awful to watch. Maybe, I don't know. Fuck, dude. I feel a little bad for you. Yeah,
I know. Especially considering you just got on board.
I'm trying to be optimistic. I want to be optimistic. And
which fan base got fingered more than Portland in this offseason?
Nobody.
Especially
nobody. Wes Matthews, Aldridge, Batoon. I mean, Lopez, that's the whole team.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a good time to suck in the West. You know, even at their peak, it was going to be a hard ass to really get out of the West in its current state. And it's going to be like that for the next 4 or 5 years. So I don't think you want to be a fringe playoff team in the West right now. I think there's going to be a lot more opportunity later on. And they've got 14 players under 25 years old.
Yep.
An all-star. And they're all on good deals as well. And then you're not too far away from like an 08 Boston situation where you've got a young all-star, you've got a bunch of good young pieces on good deals that you can flip into two really good pieces. Mm. And then all of a sudden you're back in the mix. And
money,
you know, Chris Paul. Yeah, Chris Paul's going to be on the downside of his career, and the Clippers, the Spurs, all of their core guys are going to be on the way out. There's going to be more opportunity at that time, so I'm down with the strategy, but now it's a team full of bench players at the moment.
This is an organization that reacts to shit hands, and they always come good. So I just don't see them, you know, being awful. I think they can respond well to this kind of shit.
Hmm.
I'm being honest.
What do you guys think about Lillard? Like, how do you view him in like the pantheon of all-star players and all-star point guards?
At the start of last season, I was blown away by just his how clutch he was and how much he was taking over as the man. And then he kind of went a bit missing in the playoffs a little bit. And I don't know if he's I don't know what caliber you put him on. I think
like
Chris
you say,
Bag,
he doesn't play defense. And I also think, you know, like you switch on him, you can't, you know, you don't want to switch ever with Lillard.
Yeah, but that's he can fix that. If he engages his D, and he's going to have to now because all eyes are going to be on him.
Yeah.
If he commits to getting better D.
He doesn't really like to play D, though.
Well, he doesn't.
He likes to play offense. So he's a defensive liability, but explosive, exciting offensive player.
Well, this is a testing point for him. How do you respond to something like this? Because they're going to lose a lot.
Well, if the Memphis series is anything to go by, it's a massive concern. Yeah. Because Aldridge was getting monstered, and it was really Lillard's time to step up when he had guys like Beno Udra guarding him and Calathes, and he got owned on one end, and then he couldn't make an impact on offense either. So I'm concerned. I don't know if I think he's overrated. I think he's overrated, but we're definitely going to find out this year. But he's probably one of the last people I'd really want to be building a franchise around. But I really hope I'm wrong and that peak Damian comes back and he's just throwing fireballs at the rim. Yeah,
when he's on, he's one of the best guys to watch.
All right, give me your yes or no bag.
Yes or no, Chris Kaman has a dead hitchhiker in his freezer.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely in the Spencer Hawes.
He's going to make sausage out of it too.
Yeah, heavy. 100% yes.
Hypothetically speaking, do you think Brook Lopez, because he got traded from Portland, wanted to play for the Knicks or to be in the same city as his brother so they can get more endorsement money and he can be not be the only other person that looks like a giant in the city? So basically what I'm asking, do you think he wanted to play for the Knicks really, or do you think he just wanted to be in the city with his brother?
Ooh, you would really want to play for the Knicks. That's a tough one. Yeah, I'd want to do it. You're a twin, Rabbit. Would you do that? Would you move cities to be closer to David when he's,
if he's on a different team? Fucking A, not on the same team, but yeah. Definitely in the same city.
Yeah, that's
for
cool.
Sure.
All right.
For sure.
There you have it. And Rabbit, the Weak Link Award.
I was going to be like brutal on this and, you know, because there's a lot of weak links, obviously, etc. But I just saw Noah Vonleh get dunked on super hard by Ryan Kelly at the Horn.
Oh, yeah.
The other night. It was pretty huge and he shouldn't have jumped, but, you know, you got to go. It was for the win. So he got embarrassed and faced. So I'm going with Noah Vonleh.
All right, well, that's about it for the first part of a three-part breakdown. It's a lot of parts of the Western Conference Final.
Just three.
It's not the final. All right, let me try it again.
You love
that. I love saying final. It's the final. It's the final. All right, thanks for listening to part one of the Western Conference Preview. We'll be back again with part two, where we break down the Suns, the Jazz, New Orleans, the Mavs, and Grizz. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back soon.